Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! Momo today, John?
Yeah, she, you know, Ramona's going to be late to her own funeral, so she'll be in here shortly.
All right.
And she'll be eating and talking. She'll have her, a phone in her left hand and some type of food in her right
hand. A coffee,
breaking
too.
News for ESPN.
Clinton or Taylor will open the door for her, and she'll sit down and she'll say, how's it going? And she'll have no idea that she's 10 minutes late. Yeah, that's Momo.
I want to be able to have that gear. I start, if I'm not 10 minutes early, I start freaking out that I'm going to be 30 seconds late. I can't do it.
What did you tell that story one time where Kirk thought the pregame, Kirk's always early.
Kirk is never late.
By the way, he's never late. Yeah.
Same with
yeah.
Michael Thompson. Never late. Ever. Yep.
Kirk and I have been doing Rams pregame for all 7 seasons the Rams have been back.
Yeah.
He has literally never been late, but he also shows up about 3 minutes before we hit the air, but never late. So
times
I've learned
perfectly
over 7 years to not sweat it, right?
Yeah.
So this most recent, I think it was the Raider game actually, the show starts and he's not there. And I text him like, yo, where are you? He's like, we started 3:30, right? I'm like, no, we started 3. He had the time wrong. So did he
make it?
Not in time.
Oh,
wow. He missed a good 15 or 20 minutes, and I knew it bothered him as much as it would bother the three of us because we're all pretty punctual. I want to go back to something you said about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
As currently constructed right now, obviously there's a lot of basketball left. Clippers are in this 8. Lakers are in the 9.
I know. I was looking at this today.
So you know where I'm going
How
with this.
How great would it be?
Right?
All right. So here's what I was thinking. The Clippers own the Lakers.
10 in a row.
And 45 out of 50, I think. I mean, it's some insane number like that.
Is that an exaggeration or is it really?
I don't think so. Okay. Look it up.
The Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, those years they dominated.
Look up out of 50. Just Slee, type into a Google search Clippers Lakers last 50 games. I think it's 45 and 45. Smoke. I mean, they've just owned the Lakers since Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got there. But everybody thinks that when the chips are down, it's like the Niners and the Rams.
Yeah.
The Niners have beat the Rams 7 times in a row. I mean, then they meet in the NFC Championship game, and the Niners wet the bed. If the Clippers were to lose to the Lakers in a 1-game playoff, they would have Steve Ballmer would have to take those billions and hire a truck of psychiatrists to get that through that. Can you imagine? They have dominated a team. You cannot dominate a team more than they have.
Well, that's what we were talking about. So I wonder if it's...
And by the way, if they meet, I'm picking the Lakers.
Well, that's where I was going. The Lakers and the Laker brand and what it means. And by the way, this team... Under this scenario, would have Anthony Davis playing very, very well.
Right.
The supporting cast.
Maybe LeBron
playing well.
Back.
Maybe
know.
LeBron back. So let's just put everybody has everybody.
Okay.
Lakers are at full strength. The Clippers are at full strength.
Okay.
Is it a no-brainer to pick the Lakers?
No, it's not a no-brainer. The Lakers are a different team than they were those last 10 times they've
31
lost to
and
them.
7 over that stretch right, since 2013.
All right, so 30, that it's that bad, okay. You know. And so... The Lakers are a different team now. So are the Clippers in a lot of ways. But so I think you almost have to throw those records out. I just think that if the Clippers have dominated the Lakers in every conceivable way for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say? Since 2013?
It's 2013.
Yeah,
beginning
so
of that 2013
literally
season.
10 years. Mm-hmm. And if the Lakers got them in the playoffs, because they've never met in the playoffs ever.
Nope.
In the history of the
Does this count? Because it's technically not
one game
the playoffs. Playoff,
of course it counts. Play-in is a playoff. Let's go. And they did. By the way, speaking of the Clippers, I was thinking about something. When Ramona gets here, she can comment on this more than I can because she talks to more people at the Clippers than I do. But the general consensus of media who cover the Clippers, anybody who's in the league would tell you, Paul George and Kawhi do whatever they want. All right? Mm-hmm. They tell you when they're going to play. They tell you when they're not going to play. If they're injured, they'll tell you when they're coming back. It's not a collaborative thing. It's Kawhi will tell you when he's ready, and
right.
Kawhi
I've
will tell
that.
You when he wants to play, blah, blah, blah.
Paul George, too.
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
And if you talk to people who have left that team, who are on it and left,
well,
they
that,
will tell
the speculation
you
that one of the reasons that Doc and the Clippers kind of was they were at odds over that dynamic.
Right, and I heard that Ty Lue manages it. Like Ty is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He'll say, okay. So I've got to work around that, and then he does his thing, and he's able. They put together a pretty good team. But there's very few things that I would pay to be a fly on the wall. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when somebody, I don't know who it was, had to go to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and tell him, hey, tomorrow at 10, I need you at the Intuit Dome to hear Ballmer talk about
the bathrooms.
And you got to wear this hard hat. All right? So I'll see you there.
Toilets!
I'll see you there at 10 o'clock. You just stand behind Ballmer and let him talk about toilets.
Kawhi was there at 8:30.
Like Kawhi is standing directly behind Ballmer, and there's a still photo that's out there, and it's got that classic Kawhi smile, that weird kind of like, what am I doing here kind of smile. It's pretty great.
Yeah, somebody either paid those guys to show up or told them there was an exchange of something there. Hey, you do this, and we'll send you a car. We'll pay a stipend or something, but. There's almost no way.
All right, a little bit of breaking news here, guys. This just came in. This is from Sham Sharania, who tweeted, this just in, Glendale, Colorado police have closed their investigation into Grizzlies star Ja Morant with no charge or crime. Quote, there was not enough available evidence to charge anyone with a crime.
Well, that was never going to be his problem. His problem is going to be with the NBA. Which is why I disagree with you two guys, and maybe you guys have changed your position, but when we talked about, you think he'll be back Monday?
I think that he's going to be back much sooner than later. Okay. I would not be surprised if he's back next week.
I think the opposite. I think he will not play a game this month. But, and then what's today, the 8th?
So basically,
30 days left for the season end.
Yeah, I think they need to make a loud statement. Now, David Stern, when he was the commissioner, if you had a gun-related incident, he threw the book at you.
Yep.
Adam Silver has never punished a player for a gun-related incident. Now, when Javaris Crittenton and Gilbert Arenas got into it, and Arenas brought a gun into the locker room, he suspended Crittenton for the rest of the season. Turned out to be 38 games. He never played in another NBA game after that. And he suspended Arenas for 50. Mm. And Arenas is, there's a clip running around on the internet where Arenas is doing a podcast, and he said that David Stern basically called him in and told him, you're going to take this 50-game suspension, or I'm coming after your contract.
Mm.
He said, if you're working for us, if you're working for the league, we can't have we're a corporate entity. We can't have gun-related anything.
If this were David Stern at the helm, I would not have the opinion that I have. I think that Adam Silver is far more collaborative, to use the kind word.
He's a players commissioner.
Yeah. And I think that the sooner he's back, the sooner it goes away. The sooner they can be, look, we've looked into it. We've decided that we've talked to him. We've worked with him, all the language that comes along with it, and they put him back out. Then it's not every time they play, the story isn't Ja Morant isn't here, the Grizzlies are sinking in the standings, et cetera, et cetera. He's just back out there.
I think the hole in that is if they find evidence that Ja Morant, and maybe this is how it goes away, this is how it doesn't go away. If they find out Ja Morant actually had a firearm on the plane or in the locker room or something along those lines,
now you're going down the right road.
There's no way he doesn't serve 50 games.
I don't know if it'll be 50.
Well, 50 is exactly what you said about Mark Stein. Mark Stein had it in.
But there is no there. I looked this up today. There is no automatic anything.
Okay. Got it.
I think Mark said that in a podcast. He's since gone back and corrected it. There's no automatic number. But you're barking up the right tree. How did that gun get from Memphis to Denver? And I also assume it got from Denver to L.A. because he flew with the team here, and then the video showed up.
But isn't it in the league's best interest, guys, to not prove that?
If they don't have evidence, if they don't have evidence, you're not wrong.
Not really aggressively look for it.
The police in Colorado have closed the investigation, but I'm sure the NBA hasn't. And here's the other thing. Every team in the NBA has a staff of security guys that know everything. Mm. These guys know where, and by the way, they know all the police in all these towns, and they know everything. And they tell these players left, right, and sideways, if you go out, take one of us with you. You know, that's why we're here. You know, if you're going out to a club, take one of us. We'll stop problems before they happen. I don't know if Ja did that. I don't know if there was any of the Memphis security people there, but I guarantee you the Memphis security people know what happened.
All right, let me change subjects here a little bit. Maybe Ja needs a big brother, like our listeners have big brothers. We were talking today, John, about fighting with your siblings. Okay. Like, Bergman told a story about his older brother giving him a typewriter.
Pretty hilarious.
Do you know what that is? Because it's unbelievably awesome.
No.
He would sit on his chest.
Okay. He'd have both knees pinned.
Pinning his arms.
Yeah.
And basically type with his fingers on his chest and then smack him on the head, go ding, like he's hitting the return on a typewriter.
That is spectacular.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. By the way, Greg, if your brother did that to you today, he would be canceled. Greg would file a restraining order against him.
So we were talking about
it would be a major viral incident.
Pretty funny.
All these things. I used to fight with my brother. I'm the older brother.
Me too.
I have a brother that's two years younger than I am, and I used to pick on him and do all this. I didn't do the typewriter, but I did other terrible things until he smacked me one time, and that was the end. That was it.
Did you guys, when you guys were growing up, are you familiar with an atomic sit-up?
Yes.
Do you know what an atomic sit-up is?
The most popular move in a Major League Baseball clubhouse.
Emily, do you know what an atomic sit-up is?
I do not.
Okay, so this is a big thing when I was in a fraternity in college. So you'll be walking down the hallway, and they'll always pick out a victim. It's somebody new who's never seen this happen before, and we would do it to somebody every year. So they would say, like, hey, Slee was coming up the stairs, and Slee would be like a pledge, somebody new in the fraternity. And they would go, atomic sit-up. So we'd get like 10 guys in a room. And I would be down on the ground doing like trying to do a sit-up.
Crunches.
And you would walk by, you go, what's going on? And he goes, Ireland thinks he can do an atomic sit-up. And you would say, what's that? He goes, it's an equilibrium thing. If you get down on each side, if you get a guy on each side and they yell as loud as they can in Ireland's ears, he won't be able to do the sit-up. You can't. It messes with your equilibrium. So I'm down on the ground in sit-up position. I do a regular sit-up. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, I'm good. Two friends of mine, one in each ear, screaming as loud as they can, ah! And I'm grunting, can't do it. And you're like, that's impossible. I can't. And I'd go, Slee, it's real. You got to try it. So you would get down and do it. I go, close your eyes. It'll help. So you close your eyes. I go, do a regular sit-up. And you do the regular sit-up. And then I go, okay, you ready? And you say, yeah. I go, okay, close your eyes. And you're gonna have to put a little more effort into it. But just pop up as fast as you can as soon as you hear the yelling. So you get down. You close your eyes. You're in sit-up position. Two guys start yelling at you.
I think I know where this goes.
In the meantime, when your eyes are closed, somebody drops their pants and squats over you, and you slam your face right into their naked bottom. And that's an atomic sit-up, and everybody laughs hysterically. And you're like, I can't believe I just fell for that. That's what the typewriter reminded me of.
That is the move of every rookie in every major league club. It happens over and over.
That's a perfect setup.
It is. Did you torment your brother?
No, but it was weird because my brother and I were 4 grades apart, so we spent very little time together in school. Like when I was a senior, he was a freshman, but that was it. And so I didn't give him too hard of a time. My friends kind of looked out for him, so he got off easy.
We had some interesting stories from some callers.
We had people going through drywall. We had assaults in the hallway. We had
basically,
one guy whose brother kicked his sister in the stomach just because she was standing there in his way. All sorts of fun
stuff.
Again,
guy does that today. He's canceled. By the way, I knew you guys got here, but Slee, I've been going to Laker games for 25 years. That game last night was one of my top 5 favorite games of all time.
I'm with you.
Really?
I told Trav in the break.
Really?
I told Trav in the break.
It was so incredibly cool.
The vibe was awesome. Pal was amazing.
They
actually won the game in a game where they went over to 9th place. There was a great vibe yesterday. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I'm with you.
Yeah. So first of all, you walk in, and every seat is covered in a Gasol jersey.
Uh-huh.
All right, so there's this mood of, okay, we're like at a wedding.
Sure.
We're here to honor this guy. And Gasol walks in holding his daughter, Elizabeth, who's not even 2. By the way, Elizabeth Gianna Gasol, middle name named after Gigi. And he's holding his daughter, and the game starts. And they start playing these videos at every timeout of all the stuff Gasol did when he was on the Lakers, of when he got here. There was an interview they played that I did with him, like, are you having as much fun as it looks? Mm-hmm. You know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is awesome. He goes, can't wait to see where it goes, blah, blah, blah. And when the videos are over, he's in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how is this dude going to make it through halftime? He's a mess now.
And everybody's reaction. So, like, yeah. when he stood up and he's in tears and he's kind of holding his heart and he's waving to the crowd, and everybody's just kind of standing up, giving love to... Who the hell doesn't love Pau Gasol? Like, yeah. it was just... That's the vibe that you felt.
There was this... They start the halftime ceremony, and Vanessa Bryant comes on the screen. And by the way, I'm going to play all this stuff at 2 o'clock. I'm going to play Vanessa, Kobe, and Pau at 2 o'clock. But Vanessa says, congratulations. They're very close. She says, congratulations. I'm so sad Kobe's not here, but he knew this day would come. Take a look at this. And she throws to this video.
Yep.
And somebody found Kobe at a dinner mm-hmm. like 10 years ago, and they asked him, hey, you think Pau Gasol ever gets his number retired? And Kobe goes, are you kidding? Yeah. Of course. He goes, I can't wait to be there. We're all going to be in Staples Center, and we're all going to be honoring him, and I'm going to be the first one in line, and it's going to be great. And so that now all of a sudden, so this voice from beyond has sure. has taken you to the moment where you are, and Pau gets out there, and I go, I looked at Michael, I go, he's not going to make it through. And he goes 6 minutes.
Brilliant.
And it's just perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers, who are down by one, come out and play great in the second half, and he's sitting there watching. It was, Travis, I am so glad I was there. Slee, I'm sure you feel the same way. I rank it right up there with Kobe's 60-point game, some of the title games I went to. It was nobody does ceremony like the Lakers. And last night, they knocked it out of the park. It was great.
And 16 goes right next to number 24.
Right.
And just,
I used your line, and I gave you credit. No, it was Andy Kamenetsky's line that I thought was great. 16, right in the middle of 8 and 24.
There you go.
Think about it. Jeez. 8 plus 8 is 16, plus 8 is 24, and now they're up on the wall together.
That's cool.
Oh, it's big time makeup, Ramona.
TV
yeah,
Ramona.
I got
good.
Lashes.
You look good.
TV lashes. Ramona is in the house. She's here for Mason and Island. Super Crosstalks, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ah!
Ah!
Ah! Wow, what a night. What a night at Crypto.com Arena. I just said, if you were just joining me, I told Travis and Slee, one of my... Did you forget your phone again? Slee forgets something every day, and so he comes back. Oh, he's got your phone. What'd you forget? Oh, your phone charger.
AirPods.
Equally important.
Charger and AirPods, yeah.
Momo, that was one of my five favorite games of all time.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I think that... If you look at everything that went into the night, the way that they handled the timeouts, the way
that
Pau was so incredibly appreciative of everything that happened, the fact that Vanessa Bryant showed up and introed him, the fact that the Lakers came back and won the game, that everybody was wearing a Gasol jersey, the amount of turnout, his teammates from Spain showing up, his... Old teammates, even older.
Jimmy Butler flew from Miami.
Jimmy Butler played. How about get a load of this?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler played a game Monday night.
Yeah.
Has a game tonight
in Miami
and flew in for this.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you the respect that people have for Pau Gasol. Now, let me tell you.
Did Jimmy and Pau play together?
In Chicago. Thank you, Momo.
Yeah. In Chicago. Okay, so at the end of his career.
Yeah, well, not really. At the end of Pau's career.
Right, at the end of Pau's career. Yeah, no, Jimmy's still playing.
When Jimmy was the best player on the Bulls.
Right.
And so, I've said over the years that Pau was one of my favorite guys to cover because of the way he treated everybody.
Yeah.
He treated the ball boys, the media.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear his 6 minutes, we're going to play it at 2 o'clock. All right, so about 40 minutes from now. We're going to play Pau's halftime speech if you didn't get a chance to hear it, and we'll play Vanessa's intro as well. So stay tuned for that if you didn't hear it. But Ramona, I was talking to my boss, Tim Harris, today about something, and Tim had a great line. He said, he goes, the games are great. Being a Laker fan's great. But he said, we need things to connect us. And that's the type of thing that connects you. You looked around the building, and there's Derek Fisher. And there's Jose Calderon.
Yeah.
And there's James Worthy.
Mark Gasol.
And there's Vanessa Bryant.
Yeah.
There's Gary Vitti.
Yeah.
There's all these people that were... It took you back 20 years and connected you to all those great Laker teams that Powell played on. And I was telling the story before you got here that during the timeouts, they were running videos, and Powell was in tears with the videos. I didn't think he'd be able to get through halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And it, the fact that he's up there right next to Kobe is so fitting and appropriate, and he was so thankful. And nobody does ceremony like the Lakers. If you think about it, whenever they retire a jersey, yep, whenever they do it, I mean, they always knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
And this was the latest example. It was just great.
I had my lashes and TV makeup on because I had to,
yes,
do that. I was like, oh, this is going to be rough. Like, I need the waterproof makeup tonight because I'm like such a sap for this kind of stuff. Like, it gets me. Like, when he started crying during the timeout, I was like, like it really, he's such a heartfelt guy. Such a genuine person. Like, do you ever have a coworker or somebody that's just in your life all the time who's just such a nice person, and maybe like day to day you don't tell them how great they are, or like every once in a while, but then when they're gone you're like, oh man.
Yeah, that's a perfect description of Gasol. Like, when and I think the reason so many people turned out and the reason the ovations were so loud is I used to say when he played for us, God, the Lakers are lucky that he's, yeah, one of the faces of the franchise. Do we know that this guy never ducks out tough questions, never does the wrong thing, never? And this is the type of guy who was going to children's hospitals,
yeah,
on his off days.
Yeah.
And, you know, his message has always been, you know, today is International Women's Day.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people to, he wrote a thing in the Players Tribune about why Becky Hammon,
yep,
should be a head coach in the NBA, because he played with her when he played in,
yeah,
San Antonio, or she coached,
yeah,
him when he played in San Antonio. He's just an advocate for good. And I wondered the whole time, Ramona, when we were covering him and you and I were doing it together, do people get it? Do people get how lucky we are that one of our faces of the franchise is never moody, never a bad guy, always plays, you know, balls out, always. And, you know, there were days where, you know, Kobe would get moody or Bynum would get moody, but never Gasol, ever. And he was just, he was an absolute pleasure to have on the team. And I wondered, okay, when his time comes, are people going to realize that? How good we had it with this guy as one of our cornerstones?
Yeah.
And last night answered all those questions. He was, I mean, you could tell watching Rob Pelinka, who wasn't even with us back then, but Rob knew him because he was Kobe's agent. And Jeannie, who loves Pau, you know, are standing out on the court, and you looked at their faces, and it was permagrin.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was so genuinely happy for this guy because he had earned it. And, you know, a lot of times stars, superstars, come with a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He just, and I'm so glad he's up there on that wall, because he, without, like Kobe said, without him, we don't win those titles.
Yeah.
And he left a lasting impression. And the last thing he said, you'll hear this when we play it at 2 o'clock. He goes, I'm going to continue to advocate for underprivileged people, for,
yep,
people that need help, for, you know, UNICEF partnered with this guy to,
yeah,
fight hunger in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
I mean, he took his fame and his talent, and he absolutely maximized it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got his moment in this, I kind of felt like I was going to his wedding.
Yeah.
By the way, how beautiful is his wife with,
oh,
those two little kids?
And the two kids just, yeah, sitting there. And like, I mean, like, he's holding his daughter the whole night, and then the wife had the little
baby.
By
the way, his daughter, Elizabeth Gianna,
yeah, yeah,
Gasol, named after Gigi.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah. It was one of those true things, like a lot of times, like the nice guy, you don't appreciate them in the moment. You know, people used to make fun of, they say, oh, the Euro guy or the Gasol,
right, right,
stuff, you know. And I remember when he, I was wondering how his Laker legacy would go. I had a feeling it would be this,
right?
But at the end, it was kind of yucky, right? Like they tried to trade him.
He was in the Chris Paul trade.
He was in the Chris Paul trade, and then they were sort of trying to trade him several times. Then he clashed
with D'Antoni, who didn't like post players,
right? Yeah. And then Pau didn't want to shoot threes, you know. So there was this kind of ugly ending. And but I knew he had stayed friends with Phil and Jeannie. And they used to talk all the time.
By the way, how great was it? They put Phil Jackson, he's up in a suite with his kids and his grandkids, and they put Phil up on the Jumbotron and he's waving, and his grandkids, or little kids, all in Pau jerseys, going, like, growing up, and Phil just gets that sly grin on his face and throws up his hands like, what am I going to do with these guys?
Yeah, totally.
You know, and
He gave a speech, you know, even I mean, just think about, remember when Phil coached him, he would always kind of tweak Pau through the media.
Right.
Like, he would say, he said, you know, he's got that Iberian temperament, you know.
Right.
We don't like to do practices too early in the morning, right? Like, you know, remember in the Dallas series where he got into him and he's like pounding on his chest, you know. And I asked Pau about that later, and he goes, oh yes, I remember that right? Like, he's so nice. Like, you could say and do that kind of stuff to him, and he just still understood it the right way. He took it the right way. And like you said, he deserved it. I really think he's going to be, you don't go up on that wall unless you're a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it was just a great night. And then there was the game, which we'll get into next. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Whole bunch of stuff today. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA. Mason and Ireland, Momo. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. We're talking about the great night last night at Crypto.com Arena. Pau Gasol got his number retired, and the Lakers won the game and are now, Momo, 2 games out of the 6th seed. Now, that's a very glass half full outlook, because they're also 1 game out of the 13th seed. That's how tight it is. Yeah. But they now have an opportunity maybe to crawl out of the play-in and into the playoff. And I was watching Anthony Davis last night, another monster game.
Yeah.
30 points, 22
bloody
rebounds.
Nose.
Yeah, just great. If he continues on this tear, let's say he averages 30 and 15 for the rest of the month, could he make All-NBA this year, or is it did he miss too many games?
He missed too many games. And I think there's too many good players at his position, right?
Right.
I mean, can we call him a center?
You could. They have before.
Okay, so... Yeah. Okay, like, to me, the two centers are going to be Embiid and Jokic.
Yeah.
But could he be third-team center?
Who would that be? He'd be competing with guys like Miles Turner and DeAndre Ayton and... Yeah, maybe. He could.
You know, Gobert.
Yeah. Gobert hasn't been great this year.
Yeah. The third team center is always a spot that's open.
Right. And then, you figure Giannis, Jason Tatum. I'm thinking forwards now. Giannis, Jason Tatum, Durant, LeBron. I'm trying to think of forwards I might be leaving out.
Sabonis.
Kawhi's missed a lot of games.
Sabonis
has been great. He could, but you're right. It's going to be tight.
If we can call him a center, I think he could be a third team center.
Yeah, we'll see. But I thought he was great, and I got to thinking that if you look at the standings, you notice the Lakers are alone in 9. Mm-hmm. You see who's in 7?
Clippers.
Yeah. So before you got here, we were talking, and
it feels like this is happening, right?
That they could meet in the play-in tournament.
7-8.
So I was thinking that the Clippers have a complex about being the redheaded stepchild like no other. And it's justified. This is a Laker town. Nobody gives the Clippers the time of day. The Clippers have dominated the Lakers. They've beat them 10 times in a row. They're 31-7 since 2013 against the Lakers. Just absolutely owned them. If the Lakers were to win that game, that one game, wouldn't you have to hire a busload of psychiatrists to get the Clippers through the next year?
I know. That's rough.
And you know what? It was funny. So on a day where everything about the Lakers was very uplifting, very good, Pau Gasol gets his number retired. On the exact same day where everyone is showering praise on the Lakers, we get this out of the Clippers.
Toilets! 1,160 toilets and urinals! 3 times the NBA average number of toilets and urinals! We do not want people waiting in line. We want them to get back to their damn seats at the end of the half before the game. Clocks! Toilets!
the lake.
We played that on our show too.
I was laughing. But wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall? Because I said this before you got here, and you can comment on it too. The people that know the Clippers, and you do, and I do, and the way that organization works is Kawhi and Paul George do whatever they want. They basically have carte blanche. They tell you when they're going to play. They tell you when they're not going to play. And this is not unique to the Clippers. I mean, star players do this all the time. But the Clippers, one of the reasons Doc Rivers left is there was this weird dynamic of you couldn't tell Kawhi and Paul George what to do because they ran the team.
You could tell Paul, but...
Okay, so who do you think drew the short straw and got to tell Kawhi and Paul George to be in Inglewood at 10 o'clock to put on a hard hat and stand behind Ballmer when he said...
Toilets!
They got him out there, didn't they?
Can you imagine? You think they had to pay him?
I mean, it's supposed to be part of your contract.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's supposed to be
what
part
of your
contract.
What do you think they did for him to get him
out? That's like an off day, too.
I know.
You know, like, here's the thing. I have a lot of reaction to the toilets quote.
Toilets!
By the way, I hate waiting in line at toilets, so good for Ballmer with the toilets.
But here's the thing. There's a lot to this, too. I got to choose my words very carefully.
Right.
Unpack feels like it could mean something. I don't know. I don't want to be rushed. Like, he's got this whole thing, like, we got to have more toilets so you never have to be in line.
Right.
And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the toilet break is also kind of like a break.
Well,
you know,
he's not
a sporting event, though.
Yeah, but plus, Momo, he's not saying you have to hurry up and get out. Greg, there's not a line
monitor. Oh, no, he kind of is. Right. He's like, I want you in your seat. His whole thing about this stadium is that I want fans in their seats cheering for as long as possible. So that's why they have three times the amount of toilets as anyone else in the NBA, right? Like,
it's
amazing that they know that. Okay. But also, they have like cashless spend. They have like cashless concessions.
Well, that's getting more and more common.
Yeah,
in
more
arenas.
And more common. But like, that's like everything's designed so that when you get up from your seat, it's to minimize the amount of time that you're not watching the game, because he wants you in your seat cheering as much as you can. And I think that's a nice lofty goal, but I also think that's like, that's more you than everyone. Like, people go to games to like hang out.
Right.
People go to games to watch the game, but like, I don't know. They like drift around, they schmooze, they see people, they do things like
toilets.
And like, I have enough like little, my 4-year old is constantly coming in when I'm in the bathroom. Like, and I'm just like, can I have a moment's peace?
No.
You know, like, not even here.
No. And you have a younger one than the 4-year old.
Oh yeah.
Too.
He's now crawling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Toilets.
But it's like, if you're somebody that is like a Clipper fan and you're going, oh, what a great day for the Lakers and Pau Gasol, and then you flip the channel and it's
toilets.
I mean, they can't buy a break.
You know what though? Like, he's so fired up about every inch of this thing. Like, this thing is, you know,
by the way, what we're talking about is a thing called the Intuit Dome.
It's gonna be awesome.
Which is all pretty much halfway built.
Yeah.
It's
opening in 2024 soon.
Yeah.
So it's right by SoFi. It's right in that area. It's gonna be state of the art. Oh my God, amazing, right? But the to me it's like this whole thing about like being in your seats for as long as possible. I don't know. Is that what people do? Like, I go to a lot of Laker games. People are mingling. People are in the patio and the chairman's room, and they're talking to people and they're working the scene.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're looking for their next niece. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
It's all happening. let me get this in here before we go to Wheel of Questions, because I knew you would have an opinion on it, and I forgot to ask you about it on Monday. If you go on the internet to all the sports sites that we all go to, you'll see this headline in one form or another. Could Adam Silver leave the NBA to take the CEO job at Disney? Bob Iger just came back. Bob's going to, I think, oversee it for at least another year, but then he's going to pick a successor. And he obviously has a relationship with Adam Silver because of the multi-billion-dollar TV contract. You buying it, or is this just internet fodder?
Oh, no, I buy it. I don't think it'll happen. I do think...
What's a better job, Bob? Bergman, what's a better job? CEO of Disney or commissioner in the NBA?
Ooh,
Let's say they pay exactly the same.
Overall, I would think that CEO of Disney, it owns everything.
Well, okay. you're in charge of the parks.
The CEO of Disney is a way better job.
Is it? Why?
You just get to green light movies and stuff all the time. Hang out with movie stars. Like, I mean, I know Bob's got a much bigger job than that. He's got to worry about the parks and the ESPN and all that.
Bob Iger? Who's our, I guess, our big
huge
boss?
Huge Clipper fan.
Yep.
Toilets!
Yeah, yeah. Huge Clipper fan. Yeah, he's like the NBA is like, Adam Silver is like constantly on the phone with like Chris Paul complaining about the refs and stuff. Like,
right.
Everybody's little business, they all go to Adam Silver. Everybody's gripes about every little thing, they're all calling Adam. They all got him on speed dial, they're texting him. Like, he's like the most high profile, I would call it like, in a way, like a talent manager. Like, you know everything that goes on and everybody calls you when they need something fixed and done.
Bergman, what job would be more fun?
More fun? Well, no, the NBA commissioner job is not fun. I can't imagine that job being fun.
I think
fun.
It would be fun.
No
and I think he,
way.
I think he has fun.
Oh,
I
he has Adam's, fun, but it's hard. It's like a.
I mean, you got to deal with like this Ja Morant stuff that comes up. But for the most part, man, he's like the ambassador for the NBA.
So
he flies around and gives LeBron trophies.
Momo, you would know better. But when he first came on the scene, and for his first couple of years, he was like, "Oh, he's the best commissioner there is. He's a players' commissioner. Everybody loves him." And over the last couple of years, there's been a lot more going on that he's not as beloved as he used to be. And so I don't think that's a fun job that he has at all, really.
Well, the last guy who was CEO of Disney. He basically got run out of town on a rail.
He didn't last very long.
Right. So that's a harder job, I guess, as CEO of Disney.
But if you're a guy like Bob Iger.
Okay.
By the way, Mom.
I know both of them, okay? Yeah. I think Adam would actually be very good in a CEO role like this because so much of the Disney job is about managing star talent, whether that's movie stars, star producers, star directors. Like, you got to be really good at talking to people with huge egos, lots of money, and a lot of power. And I think Adam's pretty good at that. I don't see this happening. It feels like more of a leverage play. Of a leverage play for that to come out.
That maybe Adam is going to get a big, fat new contract with a lot more money?
Yeah, well, they got a rights deal coming up, and they're going to make a lot more money.
You would know this. I know there may not be one person, but if Adam left to be the CEO of Disney, who's on the short list to be the NBA commissioner?
It would be Mark Tatum, the deputy commissioner now.
Mark's a nice guy.
Yeah, and then there's a couple other people who I think eventually could be in the mix. I'm gonna throw a name out.
For years, everybody thought when David Stern leaves, it was gonna be Russ Granick, and Silver kind of rose out of the ranks and passed Russ up.
So right now it is Mark Tatum is the deputy commissioner. So that's sort of the waiting in the wings job. There's a woman, and this is blatant homerism, but I also think it's true. Her name is Amy Brooks. She works for the NBA. She's a Stanford grad. Okay. So there's my homerism there. She's very well regarded at the NBA. But I also think they could go something totally out of the box and go somebody like a Masai Ujiri, like somebody who's been a team president, has relationships with owners because he is part of the Board of Governors. Like he goes to Board of Governors meetings.
Right.
Somebody like that who's come from a different background. Because he does so much with NBA in Africa, and he's done. I could see like a Masai get that kind of a job.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But we'll keep an eye on it. Adam Silver on the short list apparently. If Bob Iger is going to name his replacement. All right, coming up next, Wheel of Questions. Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, let's see what comes up today. Okay, Ramona and I are both married. Greg used to be married. Jorge's spoken for.
Will this keep us married or split us apart?
No, it's a philosophical question.
Got it.
Greg, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Would you rather marry a 10 with an unpleasant personality or a 6 with a pleasant personality?
Ooh. So when you say unpleasant personality, is that like sometimes it's just kind of annoying and most of the time it's all right?
Yeah.
Than a 10 with an unpleasant personality. What are we talking about here?
Jorge?
I can deal with a little unpleasantness.
Yeah, I'm taking the 10 as well.
I actually want some unpleasantness sometimes.
Momo?
What are you guys talking about? You have to go for the 6 with a great personality. You're going to be like with them all the time.
But no, it's only sometimes. The unpleasant is just every once in a while.
I know what you two idiots are talking about. Basically, you could work on her personality. You can't turn a 6 into a 10.
Yeah, I mean, 6
isn't bad.
But
I don't even need a 10.
So here's the thing.
I'm like a 6 or 7. I don't need
Ramona
a 10.
Ramona is
You're a
right.
10, Momo.
The number one thing you
when
should...
When I have my lashes.
Yeah, you look good. You look good today.
TV Ramona.
And I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
I was going to answer it like you two guys did, but the truth is, I've given this speech before in the air. If you're out there listening and you're dating somebody and you're thinking about getting married, the number one attribute you should look for, and I'm dead serious about this, is kindness, because everything else goes away.
Yeah.
The looks go away. The health goes away. A lot of times, Greg, you know this because you're dating now. Everybody's on their best behavior on the first two, three, four dates.
First two, 3 dates, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it all turns.
Yeah.
My wife used to have this friend, total knockout. Yeah. All my friends wanted to date her. And my wife and her friends would beg her. They would say, hey, they would set her up because like, she was so good looking that they could set her up with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that girl's single?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And they would beg her. They would say, you cannot let the crazy out, at least for 2 dates.
Okay.
You cannot be yourself for 2 days. Because she was half a cup of crazy.
Yeah.
And she would try not to be crazy. And then they would fall in love with her because she looked so good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, eventually it would crash and burn.
Yeah.
But if the person is at, like, you, Ramona, are married to a kind person.
Yes, a very nice, kind person.
The first thing that jumps out about Nevin, your husband, is that he's just a really good dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's nice to everybody. Yeah. He's a pleasure to talk to. He's like you want to, if I'm having a party, I want you guys there because you guys are the type of people you want at parties. I can throw you into any mix.
Yeah.
And you guys will get along. That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's kind. So I'm not saying take a two with a pleasant personality.
Six is fine.
Six is good, Greg.
That's
we can make it work.
Listen, since I'm the girl here, okay, I'm going to like tell you the real. You can work with a six, okay? I don't need 10 level like looks or anything, but you got to smell good, right? Okay. You got to smell good.
Yep.
Right? That's like, you got to be cleanly.
Wait, so you when you say smell good.
You got to put the seat down.
So you're not okay every few days. Hold on, Momo. Steve Mason, one shower a week guy?
Nope.
Do you want cologne smell good or just a good overall shower. Smell?
She'll settle for deodorant, Greg.
Literally,
that's all you need.
Like, if you're well-groomed, if you're like, I'm not even talking manicures, pedicures. I just mean, like, your clothes are generally clean and you generally take a shower every day. That I can work with. Do
that's
you
a
brush
very low
teeth?
Bar. If a guy can't clear that bar, you have no business talking to him anyway.
Like literally, like I can work with all the other stuff. If you don't dress well, I can buy stuff for you. Nevin is not a great dresser, but he just wears whatever I buy him.
Right, and he's not Mason.
And it's fine.
He's not wearing
he's not Mason.
The same thing every day.
Because like he would be Steve Mason.
Yeah,
I buy him like nice polo shirts and some shirts, and I say, you know what, those pants have holes in them at the bottom. Like I think we need to swap those out. He'll just change it up. It's fine. Like we can do. Women can.
So by
work
the way,
on
we've
things.
We've settled absolutely nothing here. Ramona and I would take the six with
every
the great
day.
Personality, and Greg and Jorge want the supermodel.
Well, it's not so much because the question, the way that I understand it, is that this person is just unpleasant at times, which is like that's
well,
anybody can
anybody,
deal with unpleasantness.
Is there anybody that's unpleasant all the time? Sure,
well,
there
no.
are.
Yes. Yes.
I know.
Absolutely, there are people that are unpleasant all the time. They're absolutely so, and that's what I mean. Like, if it's just every once in a while, that's fine. But if they're always unpleasant or mostly unpleasant, then give me the six. Like you're, but the way that you phrased it was that
I just
every once in a while.
Would you rather marry? This is the only prerequisite. Would you rather marry a 10 with an unpleasant personality or a 6?
Yeah.
With a pleasant personality. You can interpret it any way you want to.
Well, then if I want my 10 to only have an unpleasant personality 1 day out of the year.
Plus, you live in Los Angeles. Most people are going for the 10.
I'll go in the middle then. Give me the 5.
No, the 5. Wait, I'm offering you a 6. Why are you going down?
It's okay, man.
Don't worry. It doesn't make any sense.
He wants the best personality there is.
Yeah.
Bit of both worlds.
Really. Okay. So this is a story from the NFL Combine. All right. There's a guy, an offensive lineman from USC.
Okay.
Guy named Andrew Voorhees. Okay. He tore his ACL at the combine.
Ooh.
So he's going to be out for the year. Then, after he tore his ACL, he proceeded to bench press 38 reps, the most of any player there. So he's the strongest guy at the combine. He outlifted the defensive lineman, the linebackers, everybody. If you knew that, you knew this guy was the strongest guy at the combine, played at USC on an 11-2 team, blocked for Caleb Williams. Would you draft him anyway, even though knowing you couldn't play him for a year?
So what round are we talking? Like, what was he projected as?
Third.
Third round. I think he'll fall to, like, you know, fifth round or something like that. But right. Yeah, I'd still draft him.
Bergman, would you take him even though he's got a torn ACL?
I mean, if you're taking him, yes, because you're going to get him the next year and he's that good and that strong. Yeah.
I mean, third round is not exactly like, a, you know.
No, it's not a first round pick.
Cooper Kupp came in the third round.
Yeah.
It's not a second round pick. Yeah, third, fourth. You can probably get him a little bit later, too.
Yeah, yeah. He'll probably fall.
Absolutely.
Okay, on a somewhat related thing, we're all Raider fans.
Yeah.
Momo, Greg, me, Raider fans. Jorge's a Niner fan. Neither one of our teams, our Raiders or Jorge's Niners, has a quarterback. All right? Yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens made Lamar Jackson that. What's the name of it, Greg?
Non-exclusive franchise.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Why wouldn't the Raiders go get him right now? Okay, the price is you got to pay him, which I have no problem doing, and the price is two first-round draft picks. As you guys both know, the Raiders have screwed up the draft 10 years in a row. I mean, every time they have a first-round draft pick, the guy either ends up in jail or cut. Two of them ended
except
up in
jail. Except for Josh Jacobs. That was a good one.
Yeah, two of them ended up in
they
jail.
Almost didn't let
one of them got cut. Josh Jacobs, they had to franchise yesterday to keep him.
Because they declined his fifth-year option.
Yeah, the Raiders front office is a clown show. And the new GM they hired from New England, those guys drafted terrible for years, too. I don't even want the Raiders to have first-round draft picks because I know they'll botch them. Greg, why not go get Lamar Jackson right now?
So the reason why I would love Lamar Jackson, he's going to be your franchise quarterback for years.
You want Caleb Williams in a year. I'd rather have Lamar than Caleb.
Okay, so if I had a choice, yes, I would want Lamar.
We know Lamar can play in the NFL.
Correct. Absolutely. I would take Lamar Jackson right now. The only thing that the problem that they're having with him is that you are going to have to give up the two first-round picks.
Right.
You're going to have to fully guarantee his contract. And it's going to have to be a very, very large number. So because of that, you can't. What mostly works in the NFL is when you have a quarterback on its rookie contract, and then you build around that because you don't have to pay him very much. You're putting all of that money into Lamar Jackson right now, and losing two first round picks, so you're not going to be able to build at the same time.
Right.
So that's what the teams are having problems with. I would go get him immediately.
Momo, would you get him?
No.
Why?
He wants too much guaranteed money.
So all of it, 100% guaranteed.
So what?
He wants everything 100% guaranteed for a long
time. Give it to him. He's earned it. He's an MVP. He's 24 years old.
Everybody gets hurt. And I also think he doesn't run the system that McDaniels does. So you'd have to. Part of the reason he worked in Baltimore is because they built the team around him. They built the personnel around him. I don't think the Raiders have that personnel. Plus, it's just a lot. It's just a lot of money to guarantee. Like, since the Deshaun Watson deal, nobody has gotten that kind of guaranteed money. I think Deshaun Watson almost like there's sort of some
somebody's
sense
gonna
the league,
though.
Like,
eventually, when Patrick Mahomes comes up, he'll get it.
I would pay Mahomes.
Right, but
because
I'm saying
he doesn't get hurt like Lamar does.
But okay, look at the division that our Raiders are in. Okay,
yeah,
we're looking at Russell Wilson in Denver, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and Justin Herbert in San Diego. And we're going to play Jarrett Stidham at quarterback next year? We'll finish dead last. Greg said he wanted to wait a year for Caleb Williams, which makes sense to me, unless you can get Lamar Jackson right now. We can get him right now. Lamar Jackson is elite. This guy is an MVP in the prime of his career. We'd have him for 7 years. Give him the guaranteed money. I mean, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, but think about the flip side. Greg, he's a perfect Raider. He's hard to tackle.
Injured?
He's kind of a maverick. He's injured. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. And by the way, why do you guys think that their market for Lamar Jackson is so dead?
Because of the injuries and because of the guarantee, because of what he wants.
Right, but I
totally
don't
agree with that. I don't understand.
Give him what he wants.
I don't understand why teams are coming out and saying we are out on him. Like, when do you ever hear a team actually
like say
they're out?
It is collusion.
Well, it could be.
It is collusion.
Could be actual collusion.
You know, and I think this is one of those things where he doesn't have an agent. He represents himself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's good in a lot of ways because agents have agendas that are not actually always in the best interest of each client. But there's a sort of strength in numbers with agents. Like when you messed with one agent's client, you sort of mess with all of them, right? Like, and I think Lamar in some ways doesn't have the power of an agency behind him.
Well, like, he could. He could always hire an agent if he doesn't get the thing he wants. But I just as a Raider fan, I want it on record. I would sign Lamar Jackson today. I would give up the two first-round picks. I'd give him the guaranteed money. Done. Let's go. Let's roll. And I think Lamar Jackson on the Raiders would be great. You'd have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. You've had Devontae Adams on the outside. Oof. Our line, Greg, sucks. So every time the line, they penetrate, Lamar would just take off and run for 20 yards.
Sure, but then now you don't have the money to pay for offensive linemen.
Right.
Well, but,
and then does it matter at that point?
Well, how does Kansas City do it?
I mean, Kansas City has a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah, but I mean, they from the last time they went to the Super Bowl to now, five new guys.
Yeah, whatever they do on the offensive line, that's, you know.
But, I mean, it can be done. All right, so that's, we're keeping an eye on Lamar Jackson, unsigned at this point. We don't know where he's going to end up. Could end up back in Baltimore. We're keeping an eye on him, keeping an eye on Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. All right, coming up next. If you weren't there last night, do me a favor. Stay in your car. If you're at your desk, stay at your desk. Wherever you're listening, give me 15 minutes, all right? I'm going to play for you the entire Pau Gasol speech from last night. It's 6 minutes long, and hopefully, when you hear it, you'll have the same feeling that I did when I got home last night when I told my wife it was one of my favorite nights ever being a Laker employee. He just hit it out of the park, and we'll try and explain why coming up next. Momo and Fermace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.